You're listening to the Restoration Church Podcast. For more information, visit www.restorationlex.com. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Kelly. As the giving teams come, I want to remind you, too, of what she was praying. That back there, every week we have this board that we continue to use. If you have something, have a resource, maybe you have, I have this couch sitting somewhere, I have this kitchen table, like I have that. You can put that on the board because we have people to come to us sometimes. Like I got people getting, maybe getting out of recovery and getting apartments, or people that are coming out of homelessness and need furniture, like stuff like that. Put that on that board. And then if you have a need, just be very bold and just write that down and bring that to one of us. This is happening. Like, people's needs are being met here in our community. Generosity is not just something that's happening in an offering plate. Generosity is happening relationship to relationship as we give from who we are, which I just love, love, love so much. So sometimes folks have actually put those on cards, too, on our giving cards, so you can grab one of those in the seat. If you haven't done that, I'd encourage you to do that anyway, to fill out one of those cards so we can get you more connected. But if you have a specific need that maybe we can try to see if we can meet as a community. That's what we want to do here because we believe that's the church. So, cool. Well, how are we? We good? Man, the worship band is one of those weeks I just want to sit down and just let them keep going. That was absolutely amazing. I said, you know, this is the best I feel like it's ever sounded in our church. And Hannah says, I say that too much. So I guess that's a good sign, but it really just unbelievable time of worship, and so I'm grateful for you guys. So growing up, one of my favorite things to do, and it was a real treasure for me when I got to do this, was to stay up late enough to watch Letterman, or sometimes the Tonight Show, to be able to actually, like, stay up that. It felt important to me to be up that late to watch TV, and I'm very, very in support of these modern amenities like YouTube that let you watch late night shows now the day afterwards, because when you get older, obviously, going to bed early is awesome, isn't it? Isn't going to bed early the best? Amen. Gosh, I love it so much. And so you can watch it on YouTube, and which is great. And so we do that a lot. Like I'll come home from work or something like that, and I'll catch whatever happened the night before on one of the shows or whatnot. But one of my favorite things that they do, Jimmy Fallon does this thing, and you guys have probably seen it, is they take these people, it's an unsuspecting person, and they have a picture of a celebrity or a politician or some sort of entertainer that inspires. And I think we have a picture we're going to show up here of one of them. And they go up and they start talking to the picture, and they're thinking they're recording a video to send to the person, and then all of a sudden, like right here with Michelle Obama, she just pops out and everybody's like, ah, yeah, and just freaks out, because obviously it's one thing to record a video and say, you are so inspiring to me. It's another thing when that person walks out behind the curtain and you're in the same room with them. And you just see them trip over their words, and they're just so moved, and many of them start crying, because there's a huge difference, obviously, isn't there? And I've been thinking about that this week as we've been in this series called People of the Presence, which is about the Holy Spirit. And what we've talked about is not this abstract concept of a theological treatise of this is what we think the Holy Spirit is. What we want to do is have the realization that just like in these pictures, just like in these moments, it's not something we're just talking about. It's something that's in the room with us. It's a someone that's in the room with us. We don't want to talk about it like it's just a concept. We want to speak of the Holy Spirit like he just walked in the door, because that's what we believe, isn't it? That he's here. That he's what we're singing. We're not singing about a God who's up there and we just kind of stir ourselves up or down here. Like, we believe he's here, and we want to talk about him like he's here and not like he's just somewhere out there or in our head. So 2 weeks ago, we began a series and talked about Pentecost, which is the day we receive the Spirit, the birthday of the church. And it calls us as Christians to a posture of dependence and a posture of expectation. Last week, we talked about how the Spirit renews our identity and our authority as sons and daughters of God. It speaks who we are into us
And this week, we want to look at really just who the Holy Spirit is and what the primary work of the Holy Spirit is in our lives, which is obviously so important. But before we even do that, like, I want to pray for us, because I don't want to talk to you guys about this like it's just something out there. I want to talk about him like he's here, because that's what we believe, right? And so let's pray. And I just want to, I want us to be open to receive, not just words, not just ideas, but receive the Holy Spirit we speak of today. And so, Father, that's what we desire. We don't want to just talk about you like you're not here, like you don't dwell within us. And so, Holy Spirit, move among us. Speak to us today. We want to honor you today. We want to welcome you. We want to lift you high, and we want you to change us in the process. So, God, please open us up to what you want to do today. Thank you, Lord, for moving in our worship. Thank you, God, for moving in our church, both inside and outside the walls. Lord, shape us to be the people you desire us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So, who is the Holy Spirit? Notice I said there, who is the Holy Spirit and not what is the Holy Spirit? Because the first thing we need to know about the Holy Spirit, friends, is that the Holy Spirit is a person. As Christians, we believe that God exists beautifully in this Trinitarian reality as Trinity. One God existing in community in three persons. Not three gods, but one God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, I know everyone completely understands the Trinity now. So there we go. In Jesus' name, amen. No, I understand. It's one of the most mysterious doctrines of the church. This is God who has been this way from all eternity, existing in community with himself before there's even creation, before the foundations of the world. And we're introduced to the Holy Spirit, though, on the very first page of the Bible. It says that the Spirit was hovering over the waters, hovering over the chaos, ready to bring form and beauty to creation. So after that, we see the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. We see him acting in various ways. He's coming on leaders. He's coming on prophets. He's coming on kings. He's even coming on artists to help them create beauty within the temple. And it's sort of a reality there for a while where it's just like he shows up when he needs to do something to accomplish God's purpose. And then we move into a time where we see the tabernacle and the temple where God's presence, his Spirit now dwells in this place, in one particular place at one particular time. And that's what we have up through the entire Old Testament, that if you want to experience the Spirit of God, you go to the temple. That's where he is. But as we've talked about, the New Testament brings an entirely new reality. We see in Jesus first that the Holy Spirit caused Mary to be pregnant. We see at his baptism that the Holy Spirit comes like a dove and rests on him as the Father confirms his identity and authority. We see in the life of Jesus that he is fully and completely submitted to the Holy Spirit, even in his humanity. And after his death on the cross, Romans 8 tells us it's the Holy Spirit that actually raises Jesus from the dead. And so because of his death and his resurrection, what we talked about 2 weeks ago, that the Spirit no longer dwells in a temple made by human hands. The Spirit now dwells where? In us. That we are the temple as individuals and as a community, we are God's temple. It's why, as beautiful as this building is, we don't talk about how, God, you need to come and fill this place, fill this temple, because that's the Old Testament. Like, now, he's in us. And there's even language we use sometimes in worship that God inhabits the praises of his people. It's kind of taken from a verse that is taken out of context in the Old Testament too. But the better news in worship is not that God inhabits our praises, so sing more. The better news is that God inhabits his people. And those people filled with his Spirit then praise God from within them. So we have this new reality of God's presence now dwelling in us. In other words, the Holy Spirit is God's personal presence in and among us. Not an abstract, it's God personally within and among us as individuals
and as a community. That's huge. And it's also important that the Holy Spirit we see in this is not an it. Let's make this really clear for everyone. The Holy Spirit is not a force. If you see people walking around like Star Wars Holy Spirit Jedis thinking they can just like zap people, walk away, slowly, backwards. Because that's a really, really bad idea about the Holy Spirit. Like, if you think you can wield the Holy Spirit, you think you can wield God? We don't wield the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wields us. He shapes us. So never think that it's an it that we have and move and try to move around like we're some sort of Star Wars person. That's not what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is a who, and that who lives in us, which is good news. So we need to look at that, why God would do such a thing. Why would God choose to give himself fully to us, his presence within us? And what we want to do is look in John 14 at what Jesus says when he begins to introduce the Holy Spirit to his disciples, because this is the clearest picture of what the purpose of God within us is. So it says here in verse 15 of John 14, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." So it continues on, verse 15 and 17, there, move down to verse 25, where he says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So what's Jesus saying? He's saying that the Holy Spirit is given to us to shape us and form him by his truth to be like Jesus. The first statement, verse 15, says, "If you love me, keep my commands." On its own, that's a terrifying verse, right? If you divorce that from the rest of that reality, then you are constantly wondering whether I love God enough, because I'm always screwing up, right? At least that's the way I used to interpret that verse. Man, I must not love God because I can't get my crap together. But that's not what the passage is saying. It continues on, "If you love me, keep my commands." But then he says, "I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to lead you to the knowledge of truth." And Jesus just says earlier in this passage, what is truth? He is truth. Truth is a person. So the Holy Spirit is leading us to the truth of who Jesus is. What becomes clear in this for us, this is so important, that the primary work of the Holy Spirit, more than anything else in our lives, is to make us like Jesus. Before we go any further in this study that we're doing this summer, we have to know the main purpose of the Spirit is not for us to shoot gifts out our eyeballs and do funny things like that. The main thing the Holy Spirit wants to do in us, each uniquely, is form us to be more and more like Jesus. Now, the gifts are important. The fruit are important. The stuff that is going to come out of this reality is huge and important for us. But we have to build a foundation talking about the Holy Spirit, that your number one priority is to be more and more like Jesus. And that's why a few chapters over, Jesus is still talking as he's about to head to the cross to the disciples. He says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. And unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." I don't know if you caught that or not, but Jesus is telling his disciples, you'll be better at following Jesus without me here. That's kind of like mind-bending. You ever had the thought that, like, man, I would be so much of a better Christian if Jesus were walking around with me? Like, if I could just be there with the disciples, if I could go back in time and just see it for myself. Well, Jesus disagrees with that. In fact, Jesus is telling the disciples, it is better for you that I'm not physically present, because my presence now in my absence will fill and will allow you to be shaped like Jesus in a way that just following me around in the flesh will not. That's pretty mind-bending, isn't it? That's crazy to think that Jesus says,
I got to go for your own good. Because the Holy Spirit's about to bring something. And later on he says, you'll do even greater things than I will. Man, think on that a while. That'll get you going. And so he's come to unleash this promise into the world, unleash the life of Jesus in us. So how's the Spirit do this stuff in us? If you're going to be made more like Jesus, obviously there's going to have to be some change, right? There's going to have to be dealing with what we call sin. So growing up, I believed in the Holy Spirit. I grew up in a very, you know, kind of conservative little church. And I believe that the Holy Spirit's primary job was basically to be the divine buzzkill. You know what I'm saying? Like, every time you got to do something almost a little bit fun, the Holy Spirit would come and be like, no, you do that. Like your grandmother with a ruler or something. Every time that something fun happens or you're about to sin, like, he's ready to come up and go right in the back of the head and hit you and say, don't do that. And that was what I thought the Holy Spirit was made for. Like, because we're not supposed to sin like that. We're supposed to grow. We're supposed to get better. And so God decided to give the Holy Spirit, to give us a little bit of a slightly angry push in the right direction. You know what I'm saying? To kind of give us that sense of, if you even dare, I'll get you. Dallas Willard calls this the gospel of sin management. And it's a gospel that is not the gospel of Jesus. Of figuring out how we deal with the stuff within us. But if that's what God is like, if God is basically filling us with the only purpose of filling us being to say stop every time we do something bad, then what does that say about the character of God? What does that say about what he's actually life? Instead of just God being some sort of divine buzzkill, what we see in the scripture, particularly in the passage we just looked at, is a really, really important word. And it's a Greek word, parakletos, or paraclete, as it's often talked about in theological circles. And this word, it's translated differently. I'm sure a lot of you have different translations of the Bible. Sometimes it's counselor, sometimes it is comforter. But the best translation of this word, it's only appears in the book of John, or in the writings of John, is the word advocate. That word advocate is so important because John uses it in a very important first century way, because what it meant back then was somebody, if you were in court, they would come alongside you and they would stand and speak on your behalf. They would, in some ways, defend you as you were under trial. So that's an intentional word that John is using here, which is different from this idea that God would always be sticking around trying to get you to stop doing bad things. Because what God is in that situation is he's the prosecuting attorney. He's the one that in your life is always making the argument of what you've done wrong. And let me tell you, in the spiritual conversations I have with most people, that is their understanding of God. That you are living your life, and that God is always ready to make the argument of why you are bad. And thank goodness Jesus came and died for you, because you're just a piece of crap. You know? Like, that's the idea that many of us have brought into this reality, that God is basically our accuser. He's the one that brings our sin right in front of our eyes and say, look what you did. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I bet you some of us have come in here with some form of that understanding of God. But he's just right there waiting to accuse you. But the picture that Jesus gives of the Holy Spirit, the picture that Jesus gives of the character of God, is so radically different. Such good news in the face of that bad news. See, the Holy Spirit we see is not our accuser, but he is our advocate. He is the one standing beside us. He is the one defending us, speaking out on our behalf. That word parakletos, paraclete, if you just break it down to its basic meaning, it's someone that comes beside you.
When you're struggling, man, isn't it just so comforting? You don't need some kind of advice. You don't need happy words. You don't need empty promises. You just need somebody sometimes to just walk up beside you, don't you? Just to say, I'm with you. I'm for you. I am standing in the midst of this struggle with you. And that's the picture Jesus gives of the Holy Spirit. There's a picture of this I want to show in a video. And this video is old. It's from 1992. Good year. This is from the Olympics. This is a runner named Derek Redman. And what we see in this running of this race with this Derek Redman, this guy from England, is a perfect picture of what the advocate, the Holy Spirit, is for us. So I want to take a look at this video for a second.
So the Father comes beside his Son, pushes away the people trying to get him to give up, pushes away the people trying to get him to stop, comes up beside him and carries him to the finish line. If there is not a clearer picture of what the Holy Spirit is for us, not the timekeeper, not the people in the stands watching idly by while we are in pain, but God himself is the one who comes along beside us in the form of the Holy Spirit, becoming our advocate, walking with us step by broken, painful step. You see, we're given in this a different picture of what God is like, his character in our lives. Instead of a disappointing, distant God, instead of a God who is always angry at us for what we're doing wrong, we have a God in the Holy Spirit who comes along beside us, this paraclete, our advocate, carrying us to the finish line, comforting our tears and our anguish, reminding us of his love for us. Friends, what we see in this is that the Holy Spirit shows us that the God who is with us is also the God who is for us. He's not hurling accusations. He's fighting for us. He's walking with us, leading us to the abundance of life that we find in him. And you know, ironically enough, there is an accuser in the Bible. He's called the Satan, and his name means literally the adversary. And in Revelation 12, towards the end of our story, they call him the accuser. But there's something interesting about what happens when he's called the accuser. Look at this in Revelation chapter 12, this promise of what is to come. It says, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who has accused them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They have triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." Friends, our advocate has silenced our accuser and we have overcome. Amen. That is good news. This, friends, it's our news. And the better news is that the advocate, the one who wants to come along beside us, to stand on our behalf, to lead us to this abundance of life, the good news is that he's here with us now. He's here for you now. God is not your accuser. He is your advocate. He is for you. And so my prayer today for us as we've gathered here is, it's for the many of us who've identified accusation, we've identified shame, we've identified guilt as something that's coming from God, that today we could recognize that in reality, the only thing that changes us is love. And those voices are not coming from God, they're coming from the adversary, they're coming from the accuser. And so that we could stand in the promises of God, stand in the victory that Jesus has won on the cross that we just sang about earlier. The accuser is silenced, and now the advocate walks with us, fights for us, loving us, and leading us to life. That's my prayer for us today, is that we would lay down the notions of an angry God and receive the promise of the God who is for us, the God who is with us. So before we move into a time of response, let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your promise to us. Thank you for your Spirit that has indwelt us, that has made your home within us. God, that you gave yourself to us in Jesus, but you also gave yourself to us in the Spirit to dwell within us and empower us to become more like Jesus. I pray that all the more for our community, Lord, make us more like Christ. Make us more like you. Holy Spirit, for the false identities of God that we've carried with us into places like this, that makes us realize all of a sudden that this angry God can be laid down, I pray that we'd have the courage to do so. I pray that we'd have the courage to experience the advocate come alongside us, God, that we'd be open to receiving, God, the grace and the promise that you have offered us. And so here as we respond to you now, we just open ourselves up. Holy Spirit, move in our midst. Shape our hearts and our lives individually, corporately, as a family, everything. Move us now in the name of Jesus.